Well, I want to share with you, on a side note, if you have seen any of the news or heard any of the social media, so I mean, we're still serving people, we're still doing what we're supposed to be doing. I know they put us on the news, and so it has some social media things, and but it was all good, it's all good. Just kind of in a spot at times. We get into a spot from time to time. So, being thankful for the community. It's been a long week, but it's been a good week. It's been a long week, but it has been a blessed week. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Philippians this morning in chapter 1. And I would tell you, hearing children cry from a distance or even in the sanctuary is a blessing. I know a lot of churches that do not have children in their church and babies in their church, and the sign of and the hearing of babies crying and the wrestling of children messing with papers and things of that sort is actually a beautiful sign, and it is good. There's God is blessing us in some ways right now that I don't want to mess it up, but God is faithful and God is very giving. His mercies are amazing, and it feels like we are recipient of God's mercies and blessings on a weekly basis. And so this morning I want to share with you some things out of Philippians. I'm going to try to be in here for a few weeks in Philippians. I'm probably going to talk to Phil and take the one that I'm going to be missing. So I'm going to tell you you're going to be in Philippians, Phil. I want this. This is a very good book to roll through, and it's an encouraging book. And I think God is doing things right now here at New Life that are very encouraging. But also know that the darkness likes to wrestle, likes to fight and push. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Yeah, to be in First John 4:4. So we're going to read in here, and we're going to pick it up here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I give thanks to my God and for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you and at my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Father, Lord, open our hearts and our minds that we may receive from your word what we need, that we may eat from your word as the bread for our spirit and food for our soul. We just pray, Father, for this time that we have, that we lift it up to you. We give ourselves to you in Christ's name. Amen. Paul is in prison at this time, and he is in imprisonment, and he is writing this letter to the people of Philippi, and it is a encouraging letter with some very strong remembrance. This is one of the books, there's been some theologians and big preachers who said that they can do the book of Philippians, that they could have like 60 preaching messages out of just the book of Philippians. We're not going to take that much time, but I do want to share with you some words today. But it just seems like when you want to give someone encouraging words, you just keep on talking and you keep sharing because it is so filling to the people that are hearing it. It's a joy and it's encouragement. And so here he says, I give thanks to my God, remembrance of you. Here it is. We see that Paul is letting them know that I remember you, I know you, and I pray for you on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And so we see that that is a joy of Paul being in imprisonment to pray for people that he loves and he loves so dearly to his heart. And here I see we also need to continue to pray for this church and also for the other churches as well. Just this, earlier this week, it seems like it's been a long week. It feels like it's been last week, but we were at our Baptist Summit in southern Indiana, Indianapolis area. And many times I was crossing paths with other pastors and people that were saying, hey, we're praying for you at New Life. We're praying for the ministries that you guys do there. And through that, we see that I was able to obtain even some deeper conversations. And so we see that that is happening. But here he says this for your partnership. He says, because of your partnership in the gospel. This piece here today, I just want to share with you what bonds us, what brings us to coming to church on a regular basis. The Lord, the Word commands us to meet together, to worship the Lord, and all those things. But what is it that really draws us together? What keeps us together? It is the bonding of the gospel. We are bonded together because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is what gets us up in the morning. It gets me up in the morning. It is the gospel that gets us started every day. It's the gospel that brings us in to help people. It is the gospel that is helping. It is what we use to, it is just everything that we are and how we are bonded today. It is simply the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ brings lost people hear the gospel, they come together, and then they become united, and they don't even realize it, then now they have a new family. The gospel bonds us together. And he says, because of your partnership in the gospel, from this day until now, when you become a believer and you follow in the footsteps of Christ and you have your salvation and you're working that out, and you have it. You are bonded. You are engrafted into the family of God. And you are in it from the day it came, your salvation came, your experience there, to the day you die here. And then it even goes on into the glory of heaven. But he says this, I am sure he wants to give them confidence of something. He wants them to be encouraged of something. That I am sure of this. You know, there's a lot of things that I'm not sure of in this world, especially today. I am not sure of a lot of things in this world. And I don't think there's not a lot we can be a lot sure of. What, death and taxes? But I am sure that God's word still stands strong today as it was from the very beginning. God's word does not change. He is the same today and yesterday. He always will be the same. We don't have to worry about the emotions of God getting out of control. We don't have to worry about those things. The things that the promises of God has said, they are promises. They are steadfast. They are rock solid. If anything I know is this, that because I call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. When I did that, I called upon the name of the Lord. That was the day of my salvation. I know my salvation is sure. And the same for you, that your salvation is solid in the, as long as it's in Jesus Christ. And he says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it out to the completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry out. The ministries that we do are hard. Look around. I don't know who I told this morning. Maybe it been Phil. I don't know. I said, if everyone came to church that would come to church, I think we'd be at 160, maybe 180. But we struggle like every other church. We struggle getting here, but we have good people here and things happen. I get it. But even if we were at our tops and we gave all that we had. I mean, we gave every dollar that we had. I really don't think, beyond how you know, your bills and your living, I do not think that we have enough money. We would gather up enough money to pay the bills that this church has. Because we are no better than any other church that is serving the Lord. But what we do know is God has given us a task. It is the work He has called us to. It is the good work that He has called us to continue to open up the soup kitchen, the meal ministry for two meals a day, to open up the two men's shelter programs and transitional, and to open up the women's transitional program and our foster, respite foster care house as well. And we're working on the building across the street. And thank you guys that came yesterday to help. It is the good work that God has called us to do. We are not doing it because we thought it was a great idea. We're doing it because God gave us a vision. And it wasn't my vision. It is the Lord's vision. And the Lord is going to see it through. He continues to see it through. No matter what the financial checkbook says, no matter what the community says, it is working and it is making a difference in this community. Do we have gaps? Yes, we do. Do we have places where we lapse? Yes, we do. But overall, it stands strong today. It stands strong not because of the amount that it has. You do not want to know. If you want to ask me later, I'll tell you what we have in our account. Many of you have more money than what's in our account. But I will tell you, it stands because it is bonded and glued to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is here because it is a vision of the Lord to spread the gospel, to help those in need, to work with those who need food and a place to stay and a purpose-filled life. And that purpose-filled life is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they don't receive it, it's okay. We shared it. It's not ours to make someone take it, but it is ours to share it. And God has chosen New Life to share it in the downtown city of Huntington. But it is getting bigger than Huntington. It has flown the words of New Life. This place has also flown, spread through the states of Mississippi and Alabama. It has flown through the states of now Missouri. It's flown through, gone through the states of Ohio into Kentucky. I don't know if anybody's from Tennessee, but Tennessee came up and looked from Knoxville. They saw it. They left. They called me on the phone and said, I'm sorry, we can't do anything. This is too big and too scary for my people. So Tennessee's out for now. But the states of Florida several times, the panhandle in the middle, they know what we're doing. Matter of fact, I get a text message every Sunday morning. Pastor Jimmy, praying for you and New Life this morning. Why? Because we are bonded together by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they know that we're sharing what we are called to do. We are sharing it. What gets their attention is that we do it with so little, and that we are still here, and we have fresh testimonies on a weekly basis. God opens doors. That he does. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And some would say the church of Philippi, the people of Philippi, it's not there anymore. What's going on with it? Listen, it's not the material things. People at this time come to know Christ and they share the gospel and then with the next generation. And then those in that generation share the gospel with the next generation all the way up till today. And it is still spreading the gospel today. Amen? Yes. You didn't come to Christ. Someone shared the gospel with you. But that person, someone had to share the gospel with them. As we move on to verse 12. Now I want you to know, we're skipping some things, but now I want you to know, brothers, Paul is saying this, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ. Most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. What Paul is saying, he said, listen, I know, don't worry about me. There's some other scriptures about that. But he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what's happened to me, me being put in prison, my imprisonment has actually advanced the gospel. Listen, I believe that for many people, it's not for all. I believe this, that God will use you where you are. God can use you where you are. But there are times when God will pluck people out and He will mess them up, but mess them up not in a bad way, but to them it will look like a mess up, but He will mess them up to do something greater than what they could ever do on their own. He will allow people to go down the road. We see that with in the story of Joseph being put into imprisonment, sold as a slave, put in imprisonment. But God moved him into vice president of a nation. We see that God had the people captive and went off to Babylon. But we see great men like Daniel being a statesman and had the ear of all these kings. We see that God can take situations that we are in that might be bad and turn them into something good. But a God also can take your life and turn something that is going great and take you off track to put you on what is even better. God did that for me in my life, in my law enforcement times, in my military days. God took me out of that. But I did not know why. But God took me out of that and moved me into preaching and pastoring, doing greater things than what I could do then and there. And so we see that God is opening doors. He's opening doors for Paul to reach the imperial guard. Would not have heard the gospel, I don't believe. Paul became outside of Rome, put inside of Rome now to share the gospel with a bunch of law, a nation that was lost. And God used that for effect. And I believe God is doing that here with New Life, right here inside of Huntington. But just when you think you've got it down, God continues to pull, twist, and move. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. But getting in, when you start sharing the gospel, it can be uncomfortable at times. There's a joy in it, but it can be uncomfortable. We're not sure how people are going to respond. People will respond, but we're not sure how they're going to respond. When you trust in the Lord, you're not always going to know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we are called to trust Him with each and every day. He says this has actually happened for the advancement of the gospel. So it became known throughout all the area. But he says this, it also gave others strength to share the gospel. That's what I want to happen here. That you begin to get out there where you work at and where you serve, whatever you're doing, that you get the strength and the courage to share the gospel to other people. To share the gospel that the lost need the Savior. God will open doors that you cannot open. Paul cannot open this door on his own, but it took to be imprisonment for this to open. And God can open doors in your life. But I will tell you, sometimes the gospel will lead you to doors that you don't want to open. God will lead you to places that's not going to be all shiny and glimmery and beautiful and nice. Today, we are in a nice building here today. I think it's nice. It looks nice. But do you know that over in, well, we can take the country of Africa. We have missionaries over there from all different kind of denominations that are living in huts, living in the backwoods in tents to share the gospel. The body has to get prepared for it so that when they drink the water that they don't get sick. The gospel has taken people out of nice homes and put them in dangerous places, as we've seen some Christians were killed recently in Africa. God also opens doors that you can't open. Yesterday I spent, I think it was a little over an hour and 20 minutes in the governor's office. I didn't ask for that visit, but God opened the door and allowed me to be there in a meeting with the governor. I've been down to the State House 3 to 4 times in the last 3-4 years. I don't know why, but each time I go, a little more light begins to shine. God will use you where you least expect it. I don't know what that's all about, but I trust the Lord that He does. God can take you from something so small and put you somewhere that He can elevate. He can also de-elevate. If you trust the Lord, God will use you, but He's going to use you for His purposes. This is the difference. from mature Christians to Christians that are immature. That's, when you become a believer, you are immature. It's okay. We are all immature, but we are called to go from immature Christian to a mature Christian. It isn't about getting God on your bandwagon. It isn't about God get on my train, God get in my car. It's about, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to lead? Where are you going to lead me? What do I need to do? You lead me. Let me get on yours. And God will do that. And you will see, when you start doing what God calls you to do, it is amazing what has happened. Paul is testifying right now to the people of Philippi that this is what happens. The people of the Imperial Guard. I'm sharing the gospel with Roman soldiers and they're coming to Christ. I'm sharing gospel with Roman households and they're coming to Christ. I'm sharing the gospel with Roman citizens and they're coming to Christ. And it's not just that, it's those who are preaching also are listening to it and they're sharing the gospel also, and that made them bolder to share the gospel. And so now there is, if you want to call it the word of awakening or whatever you want to call it, a revival, whatever it is, not a revival, but awakening. The gospel is just spreading like wildfire. Because a man is being used by God to share the gospel. Now we're going to jump down here to verse 27. It's about living for Christ. He says, just one thing. After he concludes with this little piece, he says, just this one thing. As citizens of heaven, he reminds us, what is bonding us together? It's the gospel. Heaven is what? Citizens of heaven. What does that mean? That means the brothers and sisters of Christ. What does that mean? To be all that, you have to be bonded with, we are bonded together by the gospel. As citizens of heaven, live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ. God saved us, let's live as we are saved. The world should see, should know the difference who's believers and who isn't. You simply can show that you're different when you pray in a restaurant. After, if you go out to dinner today, you can pray in public. I am still astonished that I am not fine. I can go to a restaurant and I'm still seeing, I don't see people praying. When I do, I usually will get up if I do see them, and go over there and say, hey, are you guys believers? And they're, yep. And I really appreciate that. Standing and being bold and praying to keep that up. Do you think that means, to me, I'm just sharing something, but do you mean that, you think that means something to them? Of course it does. Isn't it always nice to know that there's other believers in a room? Yeah, they acknowledge it. That is encouraging to others. But live your life worthy of the gospel. Everybody's going to stare at you when you pray, but that's okay. They're saying they're different. Oh, they must believe in God. Oh, why are they doing that? I would be embarrassed. Huh. Live your life worthy. Something to be of the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you or absent, I hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit and one accord, continuing together for the faith of the gospel, not being frightened in any way by your opponents. What he's saying? He's saying, listen, let's be strong with this. Let's be strong. Let's be not militant, but let's be strong in knowing that we are believers. We've been saved. This gospel has entrenched me, has covered me, and I'm going to live out my life and I'm going to live it loud. But there are those days when it gets hard, amen? Especially in a place like this. Being ex-military, this is what I use sometimes, military thing. I try not to use sometimes because there's a different language, a jargon, of acronyms and things. But I would say that this church, I don't boast on this church, but I will boast in the Lord. But the Lord has placed this church on the front lines. It is though that you would be like, in the military, there would be the posts and the places in the back, and they would have all the supply lines, they would have everything. And up in the front, they would have enough just to fight with. They'd have enough to do what they needed to, but the supplies would run low. And they would send back and say, hey, we need some more supplies. Yeah, we'll get it to you. We'll get it to you. Yet they have plenty of supplies. Listen, you know where I'm going now, right? They have a lot of supplies back there. They have a lot of supplies back there. And it can easily be angry. You can easily be upset and angry when you know they have plenty of supplies. You're looking for one tactical piece of equipment. You ask for a piece of tactical equipment. There's one, Jerry. I know Jerry understands it. And what happens? You go back in the rear with the gear and you find out that they got 25 of them and they're like, we'll give it to you in a couple of weeks. And then you go back up there and you keep fighting on the front line and they're eating steak back here. In the ministry, it is somewhat like that as well. And then when they come back from those wars and battles, they come back and these guys back here are saying, why are you having all this PTSD? Why are you having all these emotional things? Why are you having all this? They don't get it because they weren't out there. I'm going to tell you, Paul is out there. And I'm going to tell you, it isn't that we walked up to the front line. No, God pushed us to the front line, because really I would not be here if God didn't push me. And I don't think many of you would not be here if God didn't push you. That's where He's equipped us, and that's where we are. And there's many times that we struggle. But in the end of it, when it's all said, because I can tell you right now, I don't know where we are exactly by number. I'd have to look on my phone. But just in our checking account right now on the ministry side, we got 1 week left. But I'd be right with that. 1 week. If no more money. But I'm going to tell you, we've been here before. And we've always paid our bills. Because what does it say? I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So I can't look at that scripture as just, oh yeah, he's just talking to the people of Philippi, but he's also talking to us. It's an encouragement for us to read. That's what the scripture says, that the scriptures are for us to be instructed and also to learn and get encouragement from the scriptures before. And so here it is. We have things that we need. We are short on a lot of things. We are really light. Anybody that's on the front line is always up there with less than what they need. But they make a way, and they find a way, and they dig in, and you dig in that trench, and you see the enemy coming, and you're out there, and you're doing your piece, and you dig in, and you find out that you're stronger than you think that you are. It's out there on the front lines where you'll know who you serve. And it gets hard sometimes. I want to say something to the church family here for a minute. If you're a visitor, great, love it. But the church family, I want to tell you, if someone in our church tells you, I'm tired, you better listen to them. If somebody in this church says, hey, I don't know if I can go on, I'm exhausted, you need to listen to them. Because listen, being quiet is not a sign of weakness. Actually, it's a sign of strength. You realize now that you can't do it on your own. I'm going to throw you under the bus for a second, Bob. I love you. We talked yesterday. We had a meeting. Been trying to get this meeting for a little bit. And there was something I want to share with him. And he said, yes, I could use some help. Because guys like Bob and myself, Jerry, some of the guys, probably Bob, and we get to this place, and Ronnie, the guys just say, no, I can do it. I got it. I got it on it. I can handle it. And we find out, really, when you do the things of God that God's called you to, you find out you can't do it on your own, because you're not supposed to do it on your own. And so you go to the front and you do it, and people come back and they're tired. And here it is. Sometimes we're carrying people's burdens that are not our burdens to carry. Sometimes we are carrying people's pain and sufferings that they're not our pains and sufferings, but we're carrying them anyway. We're not complaining about it, but it's what we're called to do it. We can do it if we do it in the power of the Lord, but yet we still, the Lord also knows that we can, this is where it says the Lord will only give you so much as you can handle. It isn't all the things that we're thinking of, it's a lot of other things that we're not thinking of. And so here it is. He is saying, live that life worthy of the gospel of Christ. You can don't do it in your own strength. Do it in the strength of the Lord. And if you're struggling and you're getting tired, it's okay. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to step aside for a moment. You're not abandoning, but no one else is going to do it. It's okay. Everyone is replaceable except for Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be here forever. And neither are you. But as long as the Lord tarries, He will be here, because His Word says, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And Paul says, I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will complete it, will carry it to completion. So we know that no matter what is in front of us, that God's going to see us through. He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's going to open the door where there really is no door at all, but He will create a door. He will move us into places that doesn't seem right sometimes, but it fits. May not fit my situation, may not fit my life, but if it fits Him and His gospel, it's fit for me. I'm the one that's going to need to make the adjustments. Let's quit thinking that following Jesus is easy and cheesy and nice and sweet. There's beautiful parts of it. Amen. You know what? If my soul is saved and I am saved, that it should be good enough. Amen. But God loves us so much that He loves to bless and He loves to show His mercy and He loves to gift us. We see that all through the scriptures. But here we find that Paul is writing a letter, giving him three major pieces. One, that partnership that we have, I love you so much, but I'm going to tell you, God's going to see you through it. He's going to see you through it. Number two is this piece here, as it says, God's going to can change your life. But when He changes your life, it's for His purposes. It's the bonding of the gospel. The gospel bonds us together. And number three, if we're a believer, we need to act like it, because God's ready to use us. And if you get tired and you're on the front line and you're coming back and you're like exhausted, I'm telling you, when you get into ministry, you're going to have some scars on you. You're going to have some wounds, but it's nothing. I'm going to tell you, be careful that you don't boast on your wounds, that you don't boast on your scars, but you boast on Jesus Christ, that He was able to lead you out of those. People are not always nice. Especially in ministry, people are not always nice. God's people are not always nice. And if God's people are not always nice, the world is not always nice. But we're still called, no matter what is in front of us, we're still called to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, to live like it. If you're saved, talk like it. If you're saved, act like it. Be where you need to be. Be where you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do. And God will use you. Listen, I have testimonies every week. Is it because I'm a pastor? No. And because I'm perfect? No. I just want to be around where God wants me. I want to be around wherever God wants me to be. And I pray for you as well. If you hear someone telling you that they're hurting and they're tired, be a good listener. Pray for them. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you attend this church, you're part of the whole church. The good, the bad, the ugly. And you're part of the ministries, whether you've ever served or not. This is your clan. This is your tribe. This is the church that you chose to attend. I'm going to tell you, folks, If you're on the board, this is a little bit more personal today, but you're on those boards, you better be there Tuesday night. All hands on deck. All hands on deck. I don't know where God is shifting this ship, but He's shifting it, and I can feel it. And we got to be all hands on deck. Because it's getting bigger. We're getting bigger because He calls it to be bigger. It's because it's just what He wants to do. If you don't never know what to do, I'm going to tell you to do two things. Number one, zip your lip. I'm talking about just zip your lip and pray. Start with yourself. I'm going to stop right there. I love you guys. I love the Lord. Sometimes the Lord says, that's enough, Jimmy. Yes, sir. Yes, God. Father, Lord, we love You so much. You are an amazing God. Your mercies are new every day. Your grace is it's so beautiful and warm. And Your love intrudes each one of us and fills the believer, all because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, as we take these few moments here to reflect, to pray, to whatever we need to do, that we get on Your path and on Your bandwagon and stop asking You to be on ours. And we'll see You move. And I pray this for our people, the people here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.